I've worked as a hospital chaplain twice in my life. The first time I worked during the summer as part of my training to be a minister, we're required to do that, and I worked in the intensive care unit. The second time was after I had completed the requirements to become a minister before I came to Chalice, and I did that work for 10 months. It was during that time that I served as a chaplain to people who were hospitalized for treatment of mental illness. I didn't know much about mental health and illness when I started there. I was nervous and intimidated, even scared. I really only knew stereotypes about mental illness and came with the city dwellers' fear of clearly disturbed people talking to themselves on the street. So I read a lot and learned a lot in those 10 months and came away from the experience with a passion for working to reduce the stigma and ignorance around mental illness. It's strange, really, that there should be so much fear and confusion. 1 in 5 people in this room will suffer or has suffered from some kind of mental illness this year alone. I don't mean like in your lifetime, I mean this year. If you don't have a diagnosis, then you know someone who has a diagnosis. I think of mental health and mental illness the same way I do physical health and physical illness. We all see a doctor regularly, or we should. We all have times when we get sick. It's the same with our mental well-being. We should all have a therapist we can go to when we need one, the same way we have a doctor, a dentist, an eye doctor. I'm glad to have the opportunity to preach about mental illness here at Chalice, and I'm grateful for the ways this community has welcomed this information. So I preach every October on this, and the first year especially, I didn't know how people would respond, and you've responded well. We strive to be a congregation where the stigma around mental illness is minimized, and where we offer care, support, and understanding to our congregants who are struggling. I'll remind you, as I always do, that I'm not a doctor, I'm not an expert, and the information I'm sharing with you this morning shouldn't take the place of medical advice. I'm just a person who's learned some things and seen some things. So mental disorders fall into 6 broad categories. Mood disorders like depression and bipolar, anxiety disorders, thought disorders like schizophrenia, eating disorders, disorders first seen in childhood like attention deficit disorder, and personality disorders. Now, the thing to understand about mental illness is that it can be hard to diagnose and treat. I don't know if you noticed my language, people who have a diagnosis. Fully possible to be struggling with mental illness and not have a diagnosis, either because you haven't sought treatment or because they can't figure it out. And it's hard to diagnose and treat from person to person. So one person with depression might respond really well to one type of medication, while a second person with depression might not see any benefit at all from the same medication. And you might find one medication that really helps you, even for years, and then it suddenly stops working. And you have to experiment to find a new medication that helps, and not just the right medication, but the right dosage. So these medications can take a long while to reach a dosage that's helpful, like you don't start taking it and feel like better in a half an hour. So it can also take a while to realize that medication isn't helping, right? If it's going to take a couple of weeks to see a benefit, it's going to take a couple of weeks to realize you're not seeing a benefit. So you have to give it time to build up. And like any medication, the side effects can be unpleasant also. That can be part of what needs to be figured out. So on top of that, diagnosing an exact mental illness can be difficult. Depression can look like bipolar disorder, which can look like anxiety, which can look like schizophrenia. Sometimes you arrive at a diagnosis by trying different medications and finding a medication that works points you toward a more accurate diagnosis. So think about that. It's like you only know if you have a cold if taking cold medicine helps. That's not how most of us want science and healthcare to work. And for most types of mental illness, we have only a vague understanding of what's actually happening in the brain. So that's part of why diagnosis and medication can be a bit of a guessing game. So given all of that, it's amazing how helpful medication actually is. When you find the right thing to help you, it can feel like a miracle. And there's a certain amount of societal pressure these days to forgo medication, to be suspicious of being medicated. We don't really trust pharmaceutical companies. And there's a certain romanticization of the idea that mental illness is a natural state that needs expression, not suppression. I would find that idea more compelling if I hadn't witnessed firsthand how people really suffer with mental illness. I think medication is a blessing, and that if it helps you, you should take it. Because of the difficulty at arriving at an accurate diagnosis, personality disorders can be especially hard to diagnose. And personality disorders are less known and understood in our mainstream culture than some of the other disorders, like mood disorders and eating disorders. When I say mood or eating disorder, you have an idea of what I'm talking about. Personality disorders may feel more mysterious. Personality disorders are ones like narcissistic personality disorder. We're learning a little about that. Antisocial personality disorder, and what I want to focus on today, borderline personality disorder, also called BPD. So I wanted to talk about this diagnosis because I've seen how people with this illness suffer. We only heard the first half of our story this morning. The rest of the story is that the children come home from school to find police waiting for them. Their mother has been taken to the hospital, and they go to stay with their grandmother, which is something they've done before. It is not explicitly said, but the adult reader infers that the mother called 911 when she realized she was feeling suicidal. That's why you go to the hospital. So that's a little intense, yeah. If you have someone in your life with borderline personality disorder, or if you were to have that diagnosis, there can be a lot of struggle and suffering. Statistically speaking, in a congregation of 200 people, we would expect to have 3 people with this disorder. So here are the characteristics of this disorder. It involves a pattern of instability in interpersonal relationships, self-image, and affects, and marked impulsivity. An unbearable feeling of abandonment and frantic attempts to avoid it. Unstable interpersonal relationships, unstable self-image, altering between extremes of idealization and devaluation. Impulsivity in self-damaging ways, for example, substance abuse, recurrent suicidal behavior. Inappropriate or intense anger, or difficulty controlling anger. As a result of these symptoms, some people with borderline personality disorder may stress the importance of something one day, only to deny the significance of it the next. Consider people to be all good or all bad. Split groups by taking sides and alienating one side against the other. Be impulsive and have unpredictable mood shifts. Have angry outbursts out of proportion to the situation. The word borderline comes from the idea that people with this disorder fall on some sort of borderline between thought disorder and mood disorder. I tend to think of it as the person has no border, no boundary between the self and everyone else. So there's a certain amount of vulnerability and volatility in relationships, since the person doesn't have a strong sense of their own self. That's just my personal way of thinking about it. Now, it's very common for BPD to be misdiagnosed. That's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it this morning. One study found that 40% of patients with BPD had initially and erroneously been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. This matters because effective treatment depends on an accurate diagnosis. Being treated for bipolar disorder won't help you much if what you really have is borderline personality disorder. Psychotherapy is a really important component of treating borderline personality disorder, working with a therapist. No drugs have been approved by the Food and Drug Administration specifically for the treatment of BPD. Certain medications may help with the symptoms or co-occurring problems such as depression, impulsiveness, aggression, or anxiety. Medications may include antidepressants, antipsychotics, or mood stabilizing drugs. But hear that difference. Those are to help with the symptoms. They don't help with the underlying problem. I think that Unitarian Universalists have a particular challenge in understanding mental illness because we have a theology of trusting ourselves, of trusting the still small voice within. One of the six sources of our faith tradition is our own direct experience. So it can be a puzzle for us to make sense of the fact that that inner voice might not always be reliable. If you are struggling with mental illness, your direct experience is compromised by that illness. It's not trustworthy. And sometimes what you have to do is rely on the observations of your loved ones, rather than trusting yourself. And that can be really hard, really, really hard. So here is the advice for supporting someone with borderline personality disorder. These ideas come from the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And it's actually a pretty good list for supporting anyone with any kind of mental illness. So you can learn about the treatment options for BPD, like dialectical behavior therapy, so you can be supportive and encouraging. You can show appreciation for your loved one. One of the hallmarks of BPD is unstable relationships. So you showing your love and appreciation can be really helpful. You can learn to tolerate the mixed messages that you receive from your loved ones, remembering that the person is not their illness. Be responsive, don't pull away, don't shut down. Someone with BPD needs their loved ones to stay engaged, even when it feels hard. It's sort of the worst nightmare to have the person you love pull away. It brings up all of that anxiety and fear. And understand that it's not their fault. You could hear in the story, right, how difficult it was for the children to live with that mom. And if you have someone like that in your life, it can be really hard to distinguish the person from their illness. But you wouldn't blame someone for having cancer or a broken leg. So try not to blame them. So don't blame them for having a mental illness. Words from the poet. Sometimes monsters are invisible, and sometimes demons attack you from the inside. Just because you cannot see the claws and teeth does not mean they aren't ripping through. Pain does not need to be seen to be felt. Saying there is no problem won't solve the problem. This is not how miracles are born. This is not how sickness works. May we be a community where invisible monsters and inside demons are understood, are held with compassion, are held with love. We all have times of mental health, and we all have times of mental illness. When the day comes that you are not at your best, may someone who loves you reach out to offer a helping hand. May it be so. Amen, and blessed be.